Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
And we're off. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
This is our week 16 episode. This is
week
flying by.
Week 16. Yeah, it's crazy.
And the Patriots, the sky is falling. They're 11-3. Nobody's happy with this team whatsoever. You know, it is what it is. And a lot of it has to do with off the field stuff. Most of it has to do with offensive stuff. But why don't we just start off on a positive note, huh? Why don't we cheer up the audience here for a bit? We'll talk to y'all about the best defense in the Belichick era and potentially the best defensive player of this Belichick era. Stephon Gilmore makes his case for Defensive Player of the Year, and I know I was watching that game. He gets his second interception, takes it back for a touchdown. I say to my girl sitting next to me, "That's it. He just won Defensive Player of the Year. That play won him Defensive Player of the Year." And then you watch Sunday Night Football. And, oh, my God, could Chris Collinsworth not fall over himself enough to talk about T.J. Watt?
Yeah.
He looked great, by the way. He looked great.
And, I didn't see too much of that game, but
he's a player.
You didn't
see too much of that game?
No, I tried.
That's the prelude to our Week 16 opponent, the Buffalo Bills. 10-4?
I know. I was trying to watch it. Something came up.
Roger that, 10-4.
I watched part of it, though.
Okay. But Gilmore, outstanding. Once again, he has nearly as many receptions as the guy he's covering.
Yeah.
I mean, in this game, Gilmore has two interceptions. Tyler Boyd has a grand total of three.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore, far and away, more yards. Boyd only goes for 26. Gilmore has, 64 return yards.
Pretty much just killed it. The thing about Gilmore that's so impressive, too, is he studies these receivers, I don't know how many guys are doing that in the league right now. It's just basically all their little knickknacks and how, he basically said on both of those plays, how'd you get the jump? How'd you know what was going on? He was like, well, I knew the route they were running. Straight up. He knew what was going on. From whatever tell or whatever these receivers are doing or whatever offensive formation that's throwing it off, he's studying that and he's knowing what's going on and so aware of what his opponent is doing. At least on some of these plays, you know what I mean? He gets fooled sometimes that we've seen, but overall it's pretty impressive. And I wonder how much of that is just him being under Bill. And because Bill saw this talent and was like, here, this is how you watch film. And it's like, oh, wow.
maybe. Yeah, I mean, he was good with the Bills, but nothing like this. I mean, this is a level of play out of a cornerback that we haven't seen since Revis.
Right.
And I'm not even talking about Patriots Revis. I'm talking about New York Jets third year in the Darrell Revis, 2009, 2010.
You think he's that? Because that was ridiculous.
I think he's that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, did people have receptions on Revis? I'm sure they did. But at the time, I felt like nobody even caught a ball on him.
2009, because people were so afraid to throw. Randy Moss catches a one-handed post touchdown pass 50 yards downfield against Darrell Revis.
Yeah, but that was rookie year. That was rookie year.
No, that wasn't. That was 2009. Week two. I remember.
Was it?
Yeah, he was a rookie in 07.
Okay.
That was Pete Revis. Yeah, absolutely. That was the first of nine straight years he held out for more money.
Yeah, right.
But right now, Gilmore is playing incredible.
I mean, he's up there. He's definitely up there. He's best in the league, definitely.
Yeah, far and away best in the league is top three in everybody's defensive player of the standings. I think he is now tied for first in the league in interceptions with six. I believe one of the Bills defensive backs also. But he's terrific. He had an interception in off coverage. That's the one he took back for a touchdown. I'm on the record saying he should never play in off coverage. Got to eat something on that play. But he was great. Secondary was great. Run defense, not so much. Biggest problem I saw the first half. I mean, in the first half, they were down 10-7 for a long time. They finally took the lead right before halftime, 13-10 after one of those many. But the tackling defensively, just strict fundamental, was horrendous.
Yeah, some of it was definitely that. I mean, I honestly thought that we were giving – well, there was a couple of plays, like you said. Yeah, the tackling was bad or somebody didn't keep fighting through. There was a specific play I remember where Jamie Collins got Joe Mixon. He was the first drive. Back in the backfield, nobody swarms and helps out Jamie. Mixon's a great running back and shakes out of it. Van Noy was kind of standing up and looking away already. He thought Jamie had taken care of it. It's like, if Van Noy basically Mixon ran right past Van Noy, Van Noy was still ready and pursuing, that play would have been negative and ends up going for 30 yards. But besides that, too, I feel like we were really trying to defend the pass. Like, we were giving him a lot of respect in the run game, like in the passing game, which opens up the run game. And it's like, what are you doing? They can't throw the fucking ball at all.
I know, it's stupid.
Why don't you just stop the run? And then they did that in the second half. They finally stopped the run for the most part, and Andy Dalton became an idiot and was like, oh, let's attack their best player.
Yeah.
Like, there you go, well, one idiot.
Well, in the second half, Patriots jump out to a double-digit lead and then some. And the running game is going to dry up anyway under those circumstances. But they did change what they were doing defensively. At the beginning of the game, they had Patrick Chung playing middle linebacker.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Exactly. They're coming out in a dime package.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. And then they figured it out really by the very end of the first half and then into the second half. They figured out, oh, why don't we just play big guys up?
Yeah.
All the sense in the world. So they went and we only really have three defensive tackles, and Adam Butler isn't a defensive tackle.
He's playing like it, though.
He's playing
like it. They put him in there at, basically they ran a 3-5, yeah. Essentially. They put him in there as the other end, and he took over that left side.
That's all
him and Van Noy were dominant together. I thought that was huge because we've been low a D tackle.
Right. That's all it took was you put those three big guys out there together, the other two being Shelton and Lawrence Guy. And then we have such a plethora of linebackers. You can keep those guys fresh, rotate them throughout. Right. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. Hightower, Van Noy, inside out, Sammy Collins. Juwan Bentley played better than Orlando Roberts did in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep those guys out there. You shut down the run. And then you can play three cornerbacks and Devin McCourty at safety and call it a day. You're all set. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think going forward, those three down tackles, I mean, everyone talks about the run being a problem, which it has. I mean, we've been gashed, but we really have never put three 300-pound guys on the field at the same time, ever, this whole season. I mean, we've put in big guys, but, you know, Van Noy and Simon and Collins on the outside, they're big, but, you know, we need those. Like, you put Adam Butler, what is he, like 290 or something? You put him on the field, now you have three big dudes across the side, the line of scrimmage. And Adam Butler is good at pursuit. I mean, I think that's going to be something going forward, especially in the playoffs, a look at what they can use when the run's hurting them.
Yeah.
100%.
He's up there as the most underrated player on the
team. You don't even think about him in the run game. About him. Weird.
Ever.
It's like, yeah. Why can't we put him in there?
They had Dietrich Wise in there sometimes in that position, and he was just getting manhandled. There was this one play, and they showed the replay like three times. Every time it made me more angry because he was one-on-one blocked, and he wound up on his back 8 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Like, this is pancaked. Embarrassing. Get him off the field.
So he's only good on pass rushing situations.
Or playing where they at put the him. Edge of the line.
Edge of the line, not the middle.
On the tackle.
And he keeps getting called for ridiculous penalties. It's always hands to the face.
It's too tall. Always. It's too long.
It's like, dude, put your hands lower. So he's got to figure that out. But I think the running game, they might have found something there. I'm just worried about the depth at D-tackle at that point because now if you have only three guys that are dressed, you know, that's putting all your, you know, eggs in that basket right there. You only have three guys. Cowart's been in and out, hurt, concussion, I think he got. And then so he's been in and out of the lineup. I don't know if he can handle it at this point, but
yeah,
defense played good, terrible offense.
Right, terrible offense. And really, they put up 34 points, but – How many of those points came off a turnover? Like almost all of them, except for the opening.
Yeah.
Every point they got was off of a shortened. The opening drive was really good, but that's really not something to hang your hat on because, you know, the Cowboys, when they're playing as bad as possible, still have a really good opening. The Bears, right. Despite whatever Mitchell Trubisky tries to do to adversely affect them. The opening drive, you can do it. But then from there on out, it's like they needed to have the ball on the other side of the.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's getting there. The offensive line is, I mean, they haven't made a lot of progress, but I feel like Shaq Mason played better this game, which is finally. They started opening in the run-up a bit better. It started to get there. I started at least to see the running game. The passing game, the pass protection, sometimes Brady gets 4 or 5 seconds, but sometimes he gets like a second. Mm-hmm. And those, you know, scratch plays throughout the game where he's just getting a second and gets sacked immediately, especially on third down. You know, Carlos Dunlap, I think, feel like got him twice. He can't let that happen. Like, those have to go. But the running game, they were at least starting to open up some kind of hole. Sony Michel did all right, 19 for 89. Like, he had some plays in there. He ran harder, I feel like, this game for sure than before. Burkhead was finally a really good change of pace there, and they didn't really need to go to James White a ton, and I feel like that was by design. They don't want to get him hurt.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Edelman's out there, and him and Brady looked terrible. Oh, what was going on there? Brady had a bad game overall.
Brady was off on a lot of throws.
His elbow must be bothering him.
That's what I was thinking too, because he was miss. It wasn't just Edelman. I think Edelman's definitely hurt.
Edelman's like dying out there.
Yeah, he's. I just read a report today that he might have a slight tear in his patella tendon. Oof. Also possible it's just tendonitis, but he looks bad out there. Their timing's off. He doesn't look explosive. Nothing looks good with him. But Brady was missing passes. Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Mohamed Sanu caught 2 of 8 targets. It's like he wasn't connecting with anybody. His throws were way off. It was probably one of the worst games I've seen him play from an accuracy, like, this season, easily.
Yeah.
In a long time, for sure.
Yeah.
And one of the bright spots on offense is something that we called for last week.
Yeah,
get
Nikhil.
The ball in Nikhil Harry's hands and let him run with it.
Thank God.
They handed it off to him not once, but twice.
Twice for 22 yards. I'll
went
take
for
it.
A first down both times.
He seemed like a bright spot. He got 2 plays that were huge that he got that really don't show up on this stat sheet. Was the one where Edelman got offsides. We basically just ran straight down the field. Brady got through a great pass to him, caught it, diving catch. Would have been a 20 or 30 yard gain. Got called back, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, he can do that. That's fucking huge. Yeah. If he can do that. That fade down the field. Then he did it again at the end of the game, and he drew pass interference. And it was a bad pass interference. They, you know, it was clear as day. They called it great. Then he also caught that one in the end zone after a little scramble. He figured out where to go and get open and kept moving along the sideline like they always fucking like, and he did it.
Yeah,
so,
caught it with his hands too.
Caught it with his hands. He looked good. He said he felt, you know, it looked like he was starting to build on something, which is great. Just get him just start throwing him the ball. Put him in the situation, throw him the ball. Don't bench him after that pick that last time. And it's not, you know, it's not like it's like magnificent stuff. I mean, the guy had 40 yards, but it's like, okay, as long as defenses just have to start worrying about, you know, okay, hey, oh, is Nikhil over there? Okay, maybe you have to shade a little more help over that side. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, yep.
Because if Edelman can get healthy, which is possible, I think it's possible, you know, he needs to be healthy for 5 games. That's all you need out of the guy.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. So.
I know. Yeah, Nikhil clearly leapfrogged Jacoby Myers on the depth chart. Jacoby barely played, not until the real end.
And what's his name? Dorsett, too.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about Big Philly. He didn't even get a target on the day. Was he suited up?
He was.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're trying to get Nikhil Harry in. So if Nikhil can be, if you have Edelman out there, whether he's a shell of himself or not, people still have to pay attention to him. Harry can be a number 2. That leaves Sanu to be able to go to the slot, and now you have Dorsett as your number 4.
Right.
Which is where Dorsett shines.
Yeah, that's where he belongs.
He belongs as a 3 or 4, and that'll be great. Sanu has to step his shit up. I know Brady threw a couple bad passes to him, but like, you know, it seems like if Sanu doesn't get a perfect ball from Brady, it's like, oh, he can't catch it. Like that 4th down. It's like, dude, it was a bad throw. It hit you in the hands. You got to catch it.
He had one good catch across the middle with his hands. But yeah, the 4th down, they keep trying to run the exact same play on 4th down. And he keeps dropping it.
It's probably wide open in practice.
Yeah. That one, I was mad at Brady on that play because he threw it like right at the top of Sanu's helmet. There's just no reason to not put that right between.
No, I know. It was a bad throw, but still. It hit you in the hands.
He should catch
the damn ball. Like, yeah, I get it, you know.
I'm with you. Matt Lacoste was the second leading receiver on the day with a whopping 22 yards. He's okay in the passing game, but he cannot pass protect for his life. He gave up 3 quarterback hurries. And if, I mean, anybody that watches Tom Brady knows when he gets hurried, he throws the ball away. So a hurry is as good as a sack slashing. It's as good as an incompletion. It really disrupts everything. He was matched up with Carlos Dunlap a couple times. You can't allow that to happen. I mean, in a one-on-one situation, matched up with their best edge rusher, Marcus Cannon struggled with that. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some sort of move at tight end. We need to get somebody that can at least block. Because even when they go max protect,
Move?
Find somebody off the street. I don't care. Put another offensive tackle.
Yeah, like they're going to have to do that.
He's that bad in pass protection that he's – you might as well just put him out in a route and just let him stand at the line of scrimmage. Remember how Hooman used to do that?
Yeah.
They would just have Hooman split out wide and then just tell him to stand still at the line of scrimmage.
Like, that's literally a guy we could use.
Yeah, Hooman would be perfect.
That's pathetic.
I know.
But that's, like, what it comes down to. Like, if we had him, I'd feel so much better. That's sad. Because he could, like you said, he could block. I mean, what are you going to do? Put out freaking Newhouse who can't run? Imagine him running a route. That'd be awesome.
That'd be hilarious. He'd get injured almost immediately.
Max protect. I mean, he would at least be okay in that situation as a sixth tackle. But it's amazing that a team with such great blocking coaches don't really have a lot of good blockers.
Right? Yeah. They got Ted Karras back in this game, which helped should a little help. Bit. It should continue to help.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, James Ferentz actually came in for Shaq Mason, but that's actually something to think about. We've mentioned how there's been some turnover at the center position and how that can cause some upheaval in the offensive line, but this seems to be happening around the league. The 49ers, yeah. Weston Richburg, their center just went down for the year, and coincidentally, you look at they right afterwards, they lose to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Boom, just like that. The Ravens just lost.
Ravens lost.
Their center. Obviously, they didn't lose last weekend, but we'll see how that works going forward. I mean, how much depends on their center? Got to be a ton with the way that offense
with the blocking scheme, he's got to be calling out all the shades and everything.
Right. Not to mention all the shotgun snaps he's got to do into all that. So yeah, it's a big deal, and having Ted Karras back and having a measure of continuity should help going forward. Now, before we move on from this game,
mm-hmm.
after the blowout, the 1-13 Cincinnati Bengals, I guess we should talk about Spygate 2.0.
Before we move to that point, I just want to mention we got that dude. What's his Gilbert? What's his name from the Ravens? Not Gilbert. What the hell's his name? The special teams player,
Justin Bethel.
Bethel, that's way his off. Name. I'm sorry, I don't know why I say Gilbert, but Jesus, Bethel. Thank
Incredible
you.
Player. Incredible player.
Him and Slater. Running down the field together, like, it's amazing how much of a weapon that is.
You can't return kicks. Flat out can't do it.
It's insane. I mean, they got between the two of them, they'll block a punt or, like, cause some kind of turnover on punt return.
Right.
The two of them block the punts, and then the two of them go and run down the field and absolutely destroy whoever is trying to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people aren't calling fair catches on these. I don't know when they're going to figure it out. That it's way safer to call a fair catch. Just deal with it.
Yeah, if I was a special teams coordinator, I would do max protect on every punt.
And not
and
have them call fair catch.
Like, and make them call, yeah, because we're not returning punts. I don't know if anybody has noticed, but Mohamed Sanu does not return punts. He fair catches strictly.
Yeah.
And there's
he returned one last time.
Oh, yeah. But
you're right. It's like 99% of the time.
Right. And then if I'm returning punts against the Patriots, I'm just telling them fair catch it every goddamn time because
literally
they're better than you are.
Yeah, they're going to get you.
I don't care
you're
who
not going to block
are.
Them.
Yeah, unless you're Tyreek Hill, I'm telling you to fair catch that punt.
I just can't believe they let a player like that go. How did he get to the Patriots? No one claimed him? Is that what happened? Or was he not waiver because it wasn't a certain date?
I think it was before the trade deadline, so it's an outright release.
I mean, that's amazing that they let him come to us. That is literally they've gotten us, what, four turnovers, the two of them?
And they took Cyrus Jones from us.
Yeah, turned the ball over.
How many more turnovers have they had?
Yeah.
And they cut him because of money. He was making like a $2 million salary.
Oh, they wanted a compensatory pick.
That's what they want?
I think it... Oh, something
he factored
in
into the formula. That's what it
he
was.
He factored into the formula so they would get a better pick. And it's like, what?
You screwed up big time.
Yeah, because that guy is a player. That combo is like can win us a game.
It's the only good thing about our specialty.
Yeah.
Kicker, well, Nick Folk's doing fine.
Folk's doing fine. You look across, you talk about trends across the league. Kickers. Kai Forbath is kicking for Dallas right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. That guy looked terrible.
It's insane. I saw him. I was like, what's going on? There's no kickers.
Tennessee Titans have missed more field goals than they've made this.
Yeah, dude. It's like an
first time
absolute
that's happened since the
major shortage going on of kickers.
Yeah, I get that gut feeling it's going to cost us at some point, and that game is at this point is looking like a playoff game.
Don't say that.
I know. I just, that's the feeling I get.
Don't say it.
okay, so let's talk this alleged spying incident. The big news that happened since we last talked was that Jay Glazer himself, the man who had the original Spygate,
yep,
he gets his hand short clip from, I think it was from like Cincinnati security. See, initially when I saw the clip, my first thought was, well, this is BS. There was 8 minutes of footage and the NFL got it, and now Jay Glazer has a small snippet of that footage, but it's not, it's separate. It's like, it was a Cincinnati guy filming the Patriots guy filming.
Right, right.
So they got the Patriots film and Jay Glazer got the Cincinnati watching guy. All right, so my conspiracy hat comes off a little bit. It doesn't look great. The guy sounds guilty as hell. He also sounds like a complete moron.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help. And
I didn't watch the actual footage, but I've heard what it was multiple times. So
idiot.
Yeah.
I'll delete it right now. As soon as I delete it off of this camera, I don't have a stick. I don't have a backup. Yeah, he sounds like a moron. But the thing that I hate so much about it is, what are you gaining from it? You're not gaining shit, because you're not... Everybody's like, oh, they're getting their plays. They're getting the signals. Nobody calls plays like that. They call it through the radio intercom. The only thing they're doing when they do those signals, that's to get the different personnel packages. Oh, I want to go with three cornerbacks. So you do whatever it is. You do a raised arm or the number three. I don't really know what it is. But you don't need that. You could just watch the film and see who comes on and off the field. When teams substitute, they have to allow the other team. When the offense substitutes, they have to allow the defense. It's just unnecessary.
It's completely. I just wonder where it's coming from, though, because you listen to basically the Patriots, that broadcast team, it's like the Patriots Craft Productions, hasn't been an away team, hasn't been outside of New England for a game. This is the first one. This is the first time this camera crew has ever traveled to another stadium and got press credentials.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So this is the first time they did that. And the guy was wearing a Bruins shirt in a press box filming. So whoever, I don't think Bill really had anything to do with it, because if Bill was doing it, it would have been way more covert, way more secretive. No, it would have been found out by an accident. It wouldn't have been found out by negligence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It was he looked so ridiculous and stupid. It's like, well, this guy had to have not have a clue what's going on. He sounds like an idiot and maybe guilt. Like it almost sounds like he knew what he was doing was not right, but he didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, I'm not, no, you know what I mean? Oh, it's for Craft Sports Production, blah, 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 which they actually do. I just don't know what they were shooting or... It doesn't make a whole lot of fucking sense to me either. I don't know.
It's frustrating. You're not going to gain anything from it. From what we know, there's no evidence that it is going into football operations, into Belichick's area.
Well, apparently Belichick's bullshit.
He should be. He absolutely should be. This makes him look terrible. And, one of the things on the film that Jay Glazer got is it's the guy, you said you hadn't seen it. He's filming, like, that guy's screen. He's got a camera on a tripod. Right, like,
why would he set up a screen?
Yeah, so you and could show see everybody else what
the footage. Yeah, that's exactly how dumb you are. It's like, literally, if you're doing that, you're not, like, say someone in the Patriots organization high up set that up. Right. They were like, OK, I want you to film. I want you to get the sideline. Yeah. OK, great. So you go in, you put up a camera, you put up a screen showing what your camera's filming. So the person in charge would have known, oh, if this guy sets up the camera the way he normally sets it up, nobody's going to let him have that footage. Nobody's going to let like see that and go, oh, that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it would never get back to the person who intended to film it illegally.
Yeah.
It just no way it would be impossible. It's like the dumbest thing you could think of.
I know. And then on that the Jay Glazer clip, he's still filming the guy's camera, which is on the sideline, but you can hear them talking back and forth.
Mm.
And the Bengals guy's like, "You're still filming the sideline," and it's like, "Well, he's talking to you." The film doesn't show the conversation; it just shows what's going on the camera.
Yeah.
So the Patriots guy having the camera still on the sideline hasn't moved at all. I think he's just having a conversation. He's not paying attention to what the camera's doing anymore. And he's like, oh, you're still filming the sideline. But whatever. The bad thing is, I hate when this happens, when the NFL responds to public opinion. They do it in almost every single case. I mean, the Ray Rice case is a perfect
example. We're talking about that's how they base everything.
They base everything off of what people want them. And
They're an entertainment business.
Which is why in the Deflategate thing, just like, oh, everybody wants them to do something to the Patriots, even though there was mountains of examples, other quarterbacks being like, I like overinflated falls. I like underinflated ones. I actually paid a guy this much money to do it before a Super Bowl, Brad Johnson, looking at you.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody gave a shit. But because it was the Patriots, everyone was like, this is the biggest. And so public opinion drives a lot of the decisions taken. Now the Jay Glazer, which makes the Pats look bad because the stupid idiot and moronic things. And now it seems like people in the public are going to be like, the repeat offenders. They should get more punishment than they got the first time, which is ludicrous. No, by the way, just a quick history lesson, people. The Spygate thing, the initial thing where they were filming the Jets sideline, they got in trouble because they were filming the Jets sideline from the area they weren't filming the Jets sideline. Right. You could have been filming it from anywhere else in the stadium except for where they were. You could have been filming it from the stands, from the right in front of the lighthouse.
Oh, we know.
People don't know that, all right?
Let bygones be bygones there. What I heard today was what I heard today was that they're basing a lot of it on intent. And intent. It sounds like the NFL believes that the guys who are doing this were just being idiots. So
judging by their voices, they'd be right.
Yeah, so if that's true, that's a big win. I mean, I can see if they take anything, it sounds like the penalty will be a mid-round pick, which would suck.
Yeah.
But it's also like, well, whatever.
It's not as bad as a first-round pick.
It's not as bad as a first-round pick or a second.
Let's talk about some of the other games last weekend. The Pats are currently standing in second place in the AFC, one game lead over the Chiefs, although the Chiefs have the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, yep.
So if the Pats slip up at all, then the Chiefs could jump into the bye spot. Chiefs took care of business at home. At home in the snow against Denver. Elsewhere, Baltimore kicked the living shit out of the Jets on Thursday Night Football. I know we said last week, oh, is Lamar going to play? Yeah, he played.
He ran the ball most of the time, though.
Yeah. Well, he threw for 5 touchdowns.
Was it end up being 5?
5.
It's absurd. Did you see then last night's game, 34-7? Yeah. Drew Brees was 29 of 30.
Yeah, Drew Brees hasn't lost a step.
Broke the record. Most touchdowns ever.
Pretty good.
Which will
pretty good.
Probably go back and forth between him and Brady for maybe a little bit. I don't know.
I don't think it will. I think he's going to hang on to it. And the only way Brady gets that is if Brees retires. But
they might go back and forth once or twice.
I was thinking about this. Who is more likely to not be on their respective next year? Drew Brees or Tom Brady? Either by retirement?
Sadly, it's Brady's more unlikely.
It's Brady, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't understand why Drew Brees would leave. The reason to think Drew might, because earlier than he got injured, and then Teddy Bridgewater is with that team right now, a lot younger, played well in his absence. The Patriots don't have that backup plan, which makes it all the more strange. They're kind of playing hardball with
Brady. Yeah, they have no – that's the thing I don't understand. Everyone's talking about if Brady went somewhere else, oh, the Patriots would let him walk. How could they let him walk?
Yeah, you're going to – they don't even trust Jarrett Stidham to be the backup. That's why they brought in Cody Kessler multiple
times. Yeah, I don't understand what that is because, you know, I've heard different things. Oh, there's a lot of quarterbacks, like second-rate quarterbacks, that you don't have to pay a lot of money and will be serviceable. But it's like, yes, that is true. But if you think that Bill Belichick doesn't appreciate how many times Brady has bailed him out in the Super Bowls, you're an idiot. Because Bill knows that last year Brady did the game-winning drive, you know, to win. The year before in the Eagles, Bill's defense let up however many goddamn points, 50 something points, and Brady scored almost, you know, ounce for ounce with them. And without Brady,
400 yards.
Yeah, without Brady, you would have had nothing. They were also down 28-3, and Brady in the offense came back and won it. So your bad last 3 Super Bowl appearances were a game because, you know, the outside of last year maybe were because of Brady. So if he just thinks he's going to find something like that, I mean, he's not like that. That's ridiculous to think.
Right. But there's so many little signs. Brady's house is on the market. He steps down from Best Buddies.
Now, the Best Buddies thing, I heard that he's been trying to do that for years.
Good for him. Well, he passed it on to Edelman.
Yeah. And he liked the football game, and they canceled the football game this year. So that has nothing to do with it.
Fair
enough. That's just more conjecture.
Yeah. It was just something I was thinking about because Brees is 40 or 41 now. And, you know, I thought he was declining. He's not.
No, he's not. I think a lot of the talk here is I think they have an agreement that at the end of the season they're going to talk with each other and see what it looks like. I think they don't really know what's going to happen. And the only reason this is getting tons of fuel is because we're in a big media market and it's a really, really hot, sexy story. Is Tom Brady leaving? Tom Brady's leaving. That's a hell of a headline.
It's also his first season ever with free agency coming up. He's always had at least another season.
Right. Exactly. So we'll get more into that when the time is appropriate.
It makes me nervous.
I feel like if he wins another Super Bowl, he might be done.
I don't know. He loves it so much. And it's got to be so frustrating for him. He doesn't want to go out like this. He doesn't want to go out as part of an offense that can't move the ball at all because they're failing to block people, because no running game whatsoever, because there's only like really one NFL caliber receiver or one receiver playing at an NFL level.
Right.
Currently. Yeah, I don't think he wants to go out like that. Whereas Drew Brees has Alvin Kamara. Michael Thomas is the best for NFL. He's got Sean Payton calling the plays. He's got arguably the best offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting pretty. Plays in a dome. You're going to be just fine down there. Whereas Brady's got a harder...
Outdoors. Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on.
He's got a harder ball. But anyway, the Texans beat the Titans. I guess they were ahead, then they fell behind. They ended up taking the game at the end of it. Now it all but assures them the division, the Texans, that is. The Titans are 8-6. The Steelers, who lost to the Bills on Sunday night, also at 8. So those two are going to be battling.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope Tennessee gets it, because I think they could Arrowhead.
I'd be afraid of them, though.
Yeah, but I want
Tennessee's a team I'm afraid of.
Look, if either way, the Patriots are going to be either the second or third seed, and the Chiefs are going to be either the second seed. So whoever winds up being the third seed is wild card week. If they win, they're going to face the other one. So if the Chiefs wind up as the third seed, if they win their first game,
right.
So you don't have to worry about Tennessee. Tennessee is going to be the sixth seed if they're anything, and then they'll have to go to Baltimore. So you want them to go to Baltimore. I would be so glad if Tennessee was playing New England in the AFC, the earliest you would possibly see that.
Fair enough. Let's go Tennessee.
All right, there we go. Convinced them.
Yeah, full convince.
Under the same logic, we could face them wild card week, but let's hope that doesn't happen.
Right, right.
So,
one optimist.
Houston moves up there. Otherwise, we mentioned the 49ers falling to Atlanta at the end of that game. We really, really missed Richard Sherman in that game. Julio Jones just tore him up.
Explain this to me. With like 30 seconds left or something, San Fran was winning 22-17, right?
Yeah.
How the hell did Atlanta score to 29?
They got a touchdown with 1 second to go, and then they kicked off, and they did a squib kick, and the Niners were doing the whole lateral, and they lateraled it, and it was a fumble back in the Falcons.
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, what in God's name happened in a second?
So that's why they only got 12 points.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, I guess really the last one to mention, Buffalo beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. The Bills' first Sunday night football game, 2007, which I believe was against the Patriots, in a game that Randy Moss caught 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah. So Josh Allen does just enough to get them the win.
And he threw 4 interceptions?
In the game. In this game? Did he? In the game against the Patriots?
No. I'm talking about in the game against the Pittsburgh. No, but they had a bunch of turnovers, didn't they? Oh, Duck Hodges. Yeah.
The Bills are they're a solid team. It's going to take a solid effort to beat them. Their defense is stacked. The first time we played them, I didn't really think too much about it, but then as they were getting announced last night, or getting announced on Sunday night, we're recording this on Tuesday night, just like, holy shit, the talent they have up front. They probably have the best defensive tackle group in NFL. Listen to these names. Jordan Phillips, first-round pick. Star Lotulelei, first-round pick. Corey Legit, for Ed Oliver, top 10 pick this season. On the edge, they got Trent Murphy, Jerry Hughes, Shaq Lawson. Two of those guys, first-round picks. Trent Murphy, second-rounder. And Lorenzo Alexander, who might be playing better than all of them, despite whatever his age says. In the middle, they got Tremaine Edmonds, 6'5", 250, freak athlete, middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Beast.
Matt Milano is their strong side linebacker. And then on the back end, Tre'Davious White's a true number one cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
The other corners aren't too special. Levi Wallace, Tyson, but at safety, really good. Micah Hyde's one of my favorite players.
He is a good player.
And Jordan Poyer's. Mm-hmm. So they're solid on defense. Sean McDermott knows how to call a defense. Leslie Frazier is their defense coordinator, former head coach of the Vikings.
Yep.
So they're loaded defensively, and it's really a tough matchup for us because their specialty is against the pass. Despite what we did last week, where we were able to run the ball, that was the worst run defense.
Yeah, last.
Dead last.
32.
And so the Bills' rushing defense isn't their specialty, but they're still in top 10 in terms of rushing yards given up. However, they do allow 4.3 yards per carry, which is right in the middle for league average. It's going to be really hard to get points against this team, as it was in the first game. Do you know what Brady's QBR was in the first game? 10.
Not, yeah.
10. Quarterback rating of 46. Yeah, not very good.
He was pressured the whole time. 16.
Completed less than 50% of his passes, and I don't see it should get any better than
that. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of James White, and N'Keal Harry has to play really well. N'Keal Harry really needs a coming out party.
They're going to have to get the ball out fast, fast, fast.
And you can only hope that our offense, that the offensive line can really start open up some holes.
Yeah.
Which is tough. Like you just said, I mean, it's a top fucking defense. And, you know, I don't think we're going to score a lot. I mean, if we can score over 20, I think that's a massive win.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is if you move the ball at all, that'll look really good going forward, because this is arguably the best defense you'll play for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the only other defense you could put up with the Bills is the Patriots and the 49ers.
Right, and the Niners you wouldn't see till the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
If they get there, and they're in, they might be the fifth seed.
Right, they're going to have a hard road.
Going to Dallas. That's a fall far from grace where they were 6 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, but if they beat the Seahawks in the last game of the year, they'll get at least the division.
I don't know if they will.
I know,
but anyways,
it's in Seattle.
Right, so back to this. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of if the Patriots offense can figure some shit out. I mean, the screen games have looked really good the last couple of weeks. You got to make some of those in. You need Rex Burkhead to play well. You need James White to be himself. I'm not going to be surprised if they can't go to Edelman because he can't do much anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him out there as a decoy and just not looking at him. And Sanu's got to play. Sanu's got to play. Dorsett's got to be able to play. Those guys got to show up. I mean, we have people that should be able to beat some one-on-ones.
They play a lot of zone coverage.
That's true.
They play a ton of zone coverage.
Leslie Frazier's a big zone guy, too.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be difficult for the offense. They need Brady to be more accurate than he was last week. They need the offensive line to have one of their best games of the season. And, yeah, some of these guys got to get open quickly. That's really Sanu is good in this game.
Sanu's huge.
The good news is that the Bills on offense are
That's really where everything kind of makes a little bit of sense as to what you can do. Because
right.
Josh Allen has, I mean, he's had an up and down season. He was kind of playing pretty well for a little, you know, string of few games a couple weeks back. But when I watch him closely, the guy can't throw more than 10 yards down the field. Like, he can physically throw it as far as he wants. He can't hit anybody if they were wide open 20 yards downfield. Can't hit him.
Yeah,
can't even get close. Against the Ravens. I mean, they lost because he had basically five or six open receivers throughout the game, wide open 20 or 30 yards downfield, and he would just sail the ball. And you're like, oh, my God. And same, a few series I saw against the Steelers, he did the same thing. He can't throw more than 5 yards.
Yeah, it's a big-time problem for him. He does a lot of his damage on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill's pretty good at corralling those guys, keeping them in the pocket, making them in there. We have the bodies on the back end to match up with them, so we can devote a lot of people to stopping the run, which is really what they do the best. They're fifth in running the ball, although they run the ball a lot. They're fifth most in as well as yards. So they do it pretty effectively. It's just they're super committed. And then what they're going to be able to do is hopefully put some pressure on him while he's in the pocket, make him throw errant passes, not that he needs any more help being inaccurate, but...
Mm-hmm.
Turning the ball over. I don't think the Pats win this game unless they take the ball away at once.
Yeah.
Which I expect them to do. But they're going to need that, and they're going to need to cash in points on that, ideally immediately with the pick six. But that's going to be essential for this game. And last time, Josh Allen threw.
Yeah, that they and you think he had a fumble, too.
Yeah, they know the buttons to push, and he's had a terrible game so far in his career.
Yeah, real bad. And I think against the run, too, is if you can shore it up, throw in 3D tackles. Get Adam Butler in there. Go big.
Totally.
You know, watch out. Don't go too much towards Roberts and Bentley. Bentley's slowly looked better and better. So
yeah, he's on the injury report now.
You know, let's throw some big fatties in there and make sure people don't over pursue. And you'll be fine defensively. I think we're gonna rip these guys apart. I mean, they scored 17 against Pittsburgh, and they had four turnovers. Their quarterback, the Steelers, threw four. Steelers threw four interceptions, and they only scored 17.
Yeah, well, two of those interceptions were at the very end of the very like last two.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, but still, two interceptions. I mean, the Patriots scored a lot on their interceptions. You know what I mean? At least you got that. They only scored 17 on Baltimore. They scored 26 on Dallas.
They looked really good against Dallas.
Yeah, it was really Miami, Denver, and Dallas. Those three games, that was when he started playing good, Josh Allen, to some degree.
Right.
They only scored 16 on Cleveland. You know, they got crushed by Philly.
Yeah, I was checking out that Philly game. The Eagles ran for 200 yards.
So, there you go. So see that?
No, but that's not something we can do. We're not going to be out there running the ball for 218 yards and three touchdowns. That's what the Patriots are just not going to be able to do. They're not going to be able to do that. No,
not 200, but I mean, if you could run for 140.
Yeah, oddly enough, the Dolphins have given the Bills a lot of trouble.
Yeah, they scored early against them, right?
Yeah, I wonder if Bill's going to be able to use some of whatever Brian Flores had going on. And they did mostly through the air, the Dolphins.
I'm sure they will. You know Bill's watching all of that shit.
So that's...
I mean, they scored 10 points against us in Buffalo.
Right.
Now this is in New England.
Well, Josh Allen only played like 2.5 quarters.
He got hurt. Yeah. But still.
Matt Barkley actually looked good against us.
Right.
Do you know what the over-under is in this game?
No. What, 40?
38.5.
I'd probably take the over.
I would take the under in a heartbeat.
I'll take the over.
We just said it would be a near miracle if the Patriots scored 20 points, and I think they're going to win. I don't think the Bills are going to score 13.
Yeah, but sometimes these games, like remember the San Fran Saints game, I thought that would be kind of low scoring. San Fran's defense is unbelievable. It was like the highest score game of the year.
It was the highest score.
There you go. So, I mean, sometimes I feel like when there's supposed to be these huge defensive battles, sometimes it weirdly turns into an offensive shootout.
Weirdly. Not this. I don't think so.
But it happens.
Put me down for the under.
I'll take the over.
Sign me up. Speaking of the Saints.
3 points is nothing, dude.
Speaking of the Saints, they just picked up Janoris Jenkins, and the Chiefs just picked up Terrell Suggs. Can anybody cut an offensive player so the Pats can get in on this action?
Why is Janoris Jenkins not on the team?
He tweeted something that they didn't like, so they cut him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I heard about that. I don't remember what it was. But
and then Terrell Suggs got cut, I think just for playing reasons.
I know. Can't like a tight end or a tackle just get cut?
Yeah, that's what we – can a tight end get cut? Exactly.
There's got to be tight ends on practice squad.
Our practice squad is getting raided. I just saw another guy signed with the Dolphins. Everybody is poaching our practice squad.
Yeah, why can't we get a tight end?
It's like
from somebody else's.
I think these other teams, they wanted the players from our team, but they're like, let's just leave them in New England, give them like 2 more months of coaching with that coaching staff, and then we'll bring them in. Let them figure out what they're good at, and then send them over to us. Yeah, it's very frustrating to see the Saints, who I think are probably the best team in the NFC, to see them add Janoris Jenkins to their defensive backfield. I know at the same time they lost two of their pass rushers. They lost Marcus Davenport. Can't remember. I think a defensive tackle. But now their top three cornerbacks are Marshawn Lattimore, Eli Apple, and Janoris Jenkins. They already turned around Eli Apple from the Giants. See him do it with...
Yeah, right. Janoris has been all around a little longer, though, so...
Yeah, he's in his 30s. Okay, let's look at some of the other games for this weekend.
What's with the Saturday games? What the fuck is this shit?
It's great. You don't like Saturday games?
Not really.
Why? What? You got other stuff to do?
Might have to work. You know, it's a Saturday.
See, this
I want to be glued to my TV on a Saturday.
This is the beauty. If you're a college football fan, which obviously you're used to watching football on Saturday.
It's too much.
No.
Two full days of sports is just.
No such thing. Don't you like Thanksgiving? Don't you like
watching football? That's a designated day to do nothing.
Fair enough. So, yeah,
anyways,
they're decent games. I mean, the Texans at the Buccaneers should be at least entertaining. I mean, Jameis Winston anything could happen.
Literally. L.A. at San Francisco. L.A. just wants to ruin San Fran's dreams, and that division just knows each other.
Could somebody explain the Rams to me, please? Because they whooped the shit out of the Seahawks and then just got demolished by the Cowboys, who didn't seem like they could.
Just like I just said. They know each other in the division. They always upset each other. It's absurd. It's always an upset in that division. I don't know why.
The Niners need this. They really
need this game. They need this game.
Because at the same time, the Seahawks are playing the Cardinals, not at the same time in the same week. And you got to think the Seahawks are going to be able to beat the Cardinals. So just to keep pace, Niners really have to win. Going into the Sunday games.
Baltimore, Cleveland. Sorry to cut you off there. I'm really curious to see what happens there, because Cleveland blew out Baltimore the first time around, which is stunning. It's now at Cleveland, but Cleveland wreck. Starting receivers asking to leave, telling teams that they play, come get me.
Oh, that's absurd. What that headline meant?
What do you mean?
When they said, come get me to the Cardinals, I thought they were like challenging them to a fight. Like, oh, yeah, come over here. Come get me.
No.
Oh, they were saying, like, traded
out of there. Like, please, get me out of here.
Oh, so it's like the Earl Thomas to the Cowboys thing last year.
Yeah, exactly. So they're both – Odell's been doing it for weeks, and apparently Jarvis Landry started doing it. So whatever's going on in that locker room is a joke. But that'd be great if they could knock Baltimore down a peg, something out. They have a defense to figure it out.
We'll see. That first game, they had Myles Garrett.
It's true.
Who wants Odell Beckham? Like, I get it. You can make one-handed catches and you're fast and whatnot, but geez, are you ever satisfied? Is there ever enough attention on you?
I know. He's going to be the next Antonio Brown.
He is so destructive.
It's like destroys his legacy. New Orleans at Tennessee. That's a playoff game.
Yeah.
It's a weird playoff game.
It's too bad. We want Tennessee to win that game for the aforementioned. We said this are really good. They're coming off an excellent game, and they need it. You know, they're currently not in line for a bye. It goes Seahawks, the Saints.
Oh, that's right.
They're the number three seed in the NFC currently.
Yeah, because of Green Bay.
Yeah, things can change. Green
Bay's sneakily sitting there.
Right? And that's the Monday night game. Green Bay at the Vikings.
That's for the division, right?
Well, I think Green Bay would have to lose the last two for the Vikings to overtake.
It's possible. Another playoff contention game, Dallas at Philly, battle of the 500 teams to try, or battle of teams to try and stay or get 500 to make the playoffs.
Right.
Such a lackluster headline. I think it's Dallas.
I think it's
Dallas. I mean, the Eagles should win just because they have a better coaching, better system. Dallas has way more talent, but it's clearly done them jack shit. But the Eagles, I feel like, are more of a tough team that'll win hard games like this, but they won't.
They're too banged up. They have absolutely no weapons.
They have nothing.
2 weeks ago, they take the Giants into overtime. And then last week, they need a pretty miraculous come-from-behind victory. The Redskins.
Yeah.
I don't see. What are the other ones? Oh, Cincinnati is going to Miami. That's right up
battle there. Battle for the first pick?
I don't think so. Miami's got 3 wins.
That's true.
They're not even close.
How smug you were to say that. Arizona goes to Seattle. Which it could be a tough game for Seattle.
No, it won't.
Just that division, man. That division, man, they know each other. It's weird.
I know.
You got it.
The last one, Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Bears. We are going to be big Bears fans, and we're going to get a feel for how frustrating it is.
Have a chance.
I know. This is a game you think they could win just because you think of Bears and you have outdoor weather and December, good defense, but Mahomes just put on a clinic last week in the snow. It's not like Kansas City's that much better than Chicago in terms of weather. I know Chicago's played upset special a couple times this season, but this is not going to be the Rams to Chai-Tai.
I don't think they got it. I don't think Chicago's got enough. But yeah, and then we only briefly mentioned the Green Bay at Minnesota game. I think that's a huge game.
Oh, it's clearly a huge
game. That's going to be a great – that's probably the best Monday night matchup in a while. Maybe in the last couple of years.
Not in the last couple of years. There was that game earlier this 49ers. Was it Ravens?
Niners Ravens. That was great. I thought it was the Niners Ravens. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, it was one of those. That was a great.
That's true.
Niners Ravens was an early Sunday.
You're right.
49ers have had some.
It was a Seattle game. This season. Yeah, they've had the hardest schedule.
Yeah, it's been
tough. They played just about everybody.
Started out pretty easy.
So, what's your prediction for the Buffalo game? What do you got?
I have 17-13 Patriots. I think the Pats need to manufacture 2 chunk plays. And to be honest, they might both be trick plays. They might only one of them be a trick play. But they need to be able to pick up like 30 yards and a big chunk, 30 to 40. And I think they really need to time those play calls with when they get the ball in a short field. So I'm assuming that they get takeaway, at least one, if not two. And then they need to time those chunk plays and be able to score touchdowns when they get into that spot. The Bills' red zone defense is not, it's not far and away outstanding. They give up almost 60% touchdowns in the red zone. That's the way they're going to be able to win. Josh Allen's going to effectively shut down. That really make nervous is Devin Singletary is playing in this game, and he didn't play in the first one. Shifty had a tough time last week.
Yep. So I'm going to go over 10. I could be completely wrong, but I think that we're going to come out of this game going, oh, okay, nothing perfect there, but they did a little something. They found something. I think this is the type of game. Buffalo at home in December. You're 11-3. You got a little bit of confidence for kicking the shit out of a bad team. I think they're gonna find something or find a little spark or get something together or look a little more congenial. You know, I think so. 24-10. That's congenial. What I'm gonna go with. That's what I hope.
There we go.
Yeah, put together.
All right. Sounds like a good prediction. All right. This weekend, let's go Titans. Let's go Pats. How about them Bears? See if we can get a bye. Go Browns. You can go to the Browns game for $20. $20 to go see Lamar Jackson play in person at an NFL game. Come on. Go do that, Cleveland people. Clevelanders, if you're listening, go to that game. Okay. That's it for us. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week to talk about the Week 17 matchups.
All righty.
All right. See you later.
Adios.